Susan in the Bible study, and I remember her talking about John's community, and I remember her talking about koinonia, that the that somehow the community that John began to be a part of and lead as the body of Christ was a community that would take very, very seriously that being Christ was one of their main agendas. And therefore, love and justice would be super, super important activities of the church. And that caused me all kinds of warm and neat feelings. And my first reaction was looking at the parish I come from and the family I come from, and I said, I wonder, are we those kinds of koinonias or those kinds of churches? Then I heard people like Joan talk about sexism and how the church has participated for many, many, many years in what could be called the dehumanization, or at least dehumanizing activities around women. I went to sessions with Hans around Holocaust and the tragedy, the pain and the pathos of the story of the Jewish annihilation and the participation of the Christian church in that whole system. I've heard stuff about alternate lifestyles. I've heard stuff about bombs, and was able to lead in a discussion of a film that I saw for the first time on the nuclear question. And I guess I would like to take a minute and see what other kinds of things you picked up. But the main focus is going to be how do we take it from here. But I'd like to first, what are some of the gifts? The gifts for me, if you haven't understood those correctly, all those things for me said that an intentional community of people who gather in Christ's name, who are not afraid of the world but are interested in ministering and being his presence in the world, is an exhilarating, not only feeling, but adventure and hope for me. That's been a gift to me. What are some gifts you picked up? And then we'll talk about maybe how do we get them home, or are we able to take them home? And I would like us not to be afraid of silence, because you may not have spent time to think about that. But I will be silent, if you can be silent, and then just kind of share some of the gifts. If there is total silence for a long period of time, then I've covered some of the gifts and we can move on. But my guess is I have not. I'm one person.
I'm going to say something as a staffer, and I've just noticed it. I mean, I've noticed it all the time I've been here. What this kind of first struck me, well, what it kind of appears to me to be kind of a Christian utopia. Yeah. You know, what exactly are the Christians, are the people coming up here for? Is it just something like a Christian retreat to just better themselves, or are they all just like ministering unto each other? Are we going to go out and let this be good and spread? Let this be a ministering experience.
The gift for you is that it could be a place in which you have new starts for a new kind of life. It would be tragic if it only became a little personal high I had for a little while.
Correct.
Am I hearing you?
The gift I've got the greatest out of this place is the trust.
From the community.
The trust of the people, the community, no locks on the door, the love that everybody expresses. The kids that work here, it's just great.
I find an age that's so pessimistic, it's terribly exciting. When you do see the staff that works here, the caliber of staff that is here, also to see the variety of work that they do. Mm-hmm. Having an electrical engineer be an elementary education.
And smile.
It's just terribly exciting.
I think the gift is to be able to put a different hat on. I spend my time September to June in a classroom using my mind and all my creative facilities to keep things stirred up. And I find it absolutely a joy to get into a paintbrush and a broom and a shovel and do physical work, which balances out the mental and emotional expenditure, which puts out all of your mouth.
And in so doing, talk to people who are on the same wavelength.
One of the gifts I enjoy the most is the feeling of community, the sense of community, you know, working together and try and get everyone to use their gifts and get them to participate and take part of it.
I spent one day learning that prayers and everything you do, as well as everything you say inside, you know, it's just anything you do all day can be.
And that was a gift of broadening prayer for you.
I think it's a real gift of the priesthood of believers. You realize, you talk about it, it should be present by the community of saints in your own local congregation. But you can't tell who's ordained or not ordained, all are ordained pure by baptism. Therefore, each is ministering to the other. And I think whether it's young people or whether it be those who are older and those who are older yet, it's an amazing way in which they all kind of blend together. I think that's one of the uniquenesses of this community that I've heard so much about over all these years, and sent people out to take part in, to come back different people. Hmm.
That's jumping to the next, but it's nice to hear that you see people coming back different.
And that certainly answers
some of what you
said. You can't be here very long and not catch kind of an age of joy that people have, and I think I would say it's something about harmony, but yet you hear a lot of people not necessarily agreeing with each other, but not disagreeing where there's any anger there.
I would say it is a, for myself, defocusing on myself and focusing on God. You know, when you're in your own community, things may be, when you can hear others and God,
yeah, I think I would say that for me. That coming here is visioning the world, or the village world, whatever language they use here, the global village, I guess. You know, you actually begin to feel and think about the global village, and that you have a part, a place to play in that. Instead of the insignificance that probably leads to what Jerry was talking about, the sarcasm and stuff that's ours.
For me, it's been to de-emphasize the word doing. Like when I'm out back teaching and working in church work and being with people, I feel like I have to be doing, and have all these expectations and pressures laid on me, and on myself I laid them. And so to come, part of my desire to come and reason with to come was to really try to get into the being of life. And I really feel that there, and I'm really thankful for that coming to terms, I think, and I'm praying I can go back with that feeling of being able to continue to be and let go of expectations and all this doing.
See. Yeah.
Dad's mine, and there's also, I felt much more peace with myself, putting my decisions and things on God's responsibility and putting the burden on Him, instead of just trying to make my own life turn out the way I want. You know.
For those of you who are coming a little bit late, we're just getting clear in terms of what are some of the gifts that Holden gives us before we move to how do we take the gifts home. And sometimes we have to talk about it to begin to get in touch with how many gifts we've been given. At least you've helped me realize the more I've had.
I think Holden has made me realize that I really don't have to expect anything from other people, but that there's a lot of things I can do and give that I didn't realize before. And then if you take those back with you, that's part of the gift of holding, that you're able to give more than you did before. And, like, not be as centralized. on yourself. Which I don't think is too bad, but if that's why you're here, that's a good gift, to be able to give back.
Can I throw out a hypothesis about why it is that this works like it does? Well, this may be off. We have nothing to exhibit negative feelings toward, and so we're all positive all the time. And that's a real lesson.
I ran into some negatives, but it turned out to be a kind of a learning thing. And something. I ran into some things that I ran into at home and couldn't handle there. And here I was able to work it out.
I think that's true. I think I made somebody mad me today. Too much exuberance, and they got fed up with it.
I would say
they
that
come back later and forgive you.
But then they kind of limit the number that of negatives unless you see clearly what you should do in this case. Could that be?
Could be. Let's not, I hear you saying that. Let's not get into debate on that, or we'll get off the last part. But just, are there, because some are coming lady who were at the Holocaust, and I ran away from that one early, and they just come on. We're just getting clear of some of the gifts that we've been given at Holden before we start talking about how do we take them home, or do we want to take them home, or is it possible to take them where we live? Just be sure that we've gotten in touch with some of the gifts. Yeah.
Another reason why it works so well is because it's a temporary thing. I mean, you can get along with people on that basis or weak spaces. But if we have all of us were jammed up here in the wintertime, would that same thing happen every month? In a group of 6 or 8, maybe yes, maybe no. But, you know, we don't have to live with what happens to us. If we really mess up, then 2 weeks from now we'll be gone because there's no better.
So there may be some phony stuff that we just can't duplicate. Yeah. This place may have a strange place to it, that we're vacationed, we're working for 3 months. Most of us are not on our regular jobs. I'm sure that has ramifications.
I'd like to clarify what I said about natives. What happened in such a way that it turned out to be positive. I mean, and I look at it as sort of the salt that we're supposed to be, really. And it was pretty much the right amount of salt, you know.
And you made some choices that you don't always make other places, if I heard you correctly, which made it more possible.
Another thing I enjoy is the motivation to learn. There's such a vast supply of knowledge and resources here with the page, the book, the session, and everyone's just kind of caught in the desire to learn. You can't help but get a little bit of that desire, too.
Yep. You never know that you're going home this week, would we?
To add to her comment about teaching, I teach on your own too, and at the end of the year I just feel drained, and here I feel like I'm storing up my batteries again. It's filling me up again. It's taking instead of giving out all the time.
Yeah.
Has anyone used the word vision, Frank?
Nope.
Okay.
Tell us about your gift of vision. No, not I know.
You say it works
all the time. 2020 career.
Well, I think one thing I'm really grateful for about Holden and for just the time I've been here is so that the physical vision keeps diminishing. There's another vision which is being shaped here and being held forth and concretized, which I would say is the vision of the life, the Christian life in a global world. What that means. And not as a downer, to use the word we heard earlier, but as an exciting challenge. And in terms of something that is hopeful despite all the negatives that we see around us. And a vision that's shared, I think the feeling that we have is shared by a lot of people. In other words, when we leave here, we will have a different horizon. And it's nice to know that that's shared by others. Now, how we implement it, maybe that's the next step of your discussion, but at least this vision is the thing I wanted to
hear. I would add stronger words for me than nice. I find it deadening when I begin to think, and I know it's stupid, but when I sometimes begin to think that, my God, I'm almost alone. Now, I'm generally not, but when I'm sitting alone, or I'm sitting in, and to come to a place like this and see other people committed and caring, I don't give a rip whether they're on the same side. That's kind of irrelevant in terms of methodology. But that there are people gathered in God's name caring about this world, knowing that it may die, and yet saying, that's part of the given, and I'm going to keep fighting and struggling to work with God in this world. That gives me all kinds of energy. I'd love to be able to have a movie camera. I can see people gathering here during the middle of the winter. And I think that's what others are kind of saying, that there's energy that comes from that. And there's hope and faith. Maybe we could go on with gifts. But we didn't set the thing around getting in touch with the gifts. We really started thinking instead, what does it mean that those gifts are at Holden and that we come and make it possible for those gifts to be here? If we make that possible, we who make up the whole, and the mountains would still be here and the buildings and so forth. We're pretty clear, all of us, that we need to be here. But our coming together gives us a gift. Yet many of us go away alone, or in little groups of families, or some of you in parishes. And there's this kind of haunting wonderment in us. Will I go back to school and next year get as drained and be as bankrupt? Will I go to where I go and not be able to make the choices in terms of the anger that I had and work it through? Those kinds of things. So how is it possible that Holden becomes a part of my existence where I live? I think if that isn't said correctly, you say it how you want to say it, but that's the issue. Sure, Rick.
I'd like to comment on the teacher's comments, if I may, on two things. One, if we had to live here and work here. One of the things I was thinking about as I was listening to John Trent talk on biblical values and biblical faith was the different values in the environment at work where I live, and the amount of effort and energy expended on these different values. And some of them, many of them, I consider draining. I won't go into what they are, but you have a wrong hypothesis and you have a great deal of logic following it. You don't come up with the right answer at the end. Whereas the hypotheses here are being concerned for your neighbor, deeply concerned, committed, extraordinarily good and positive. And I think working together would not be anywhere near as draining in this environment as it is in an environment where I do work. And getting back to, when you return to where you do work, not mentioning any names, an environment can be draining. And this kind of atmosphere here, not just the atmosphere, the vision that Hans mentioned, the clarity of thinking in terms of what is really good, helps to bring these things back with you. And I believe all environments can be changed for good. We may not be able to do it ourselves. But if we understand what is wrong, even though it's a draining wrong we're in, we may be able to work ourselves into a better situation.
Okay, so you go with hope.
I think one of the things that happens in a community or a situation like this is that you become overwhelmed with all of the potential of what could be done, or who you are, where you are here, and you go back and you are the lone person or you are the individual out there. And one of the things that I try to practice is taking one thing or two things and not being overwhelmed. And something very concrete so that I can see it being done, whether that means making a compost garden or going to my job and taking a stand or saying something that I've never said to that group of people before. But rather than being overwhelmed with, God, there's so much to do, where do I start? Taking it one step at a time and being satisfied with that, and then adding on to it as I either begin to accomplish one thing or as I'm in the midst of it and feel ready for another thing. I see that a lot with the people that I work with.
So if I could try, maybe, so when I leave here, try not to take the whole package home, makes it a little more possible for me to go home.
Right.
And to take something that's manageable and understand that it's me who's making a change and it's going to slowly impact the world that I can impact.
Right. And so if I hop on to what Jill said and the burnout that drains my energy to teach and to do all those things, and I find myself overcommitted and over-listening and over all these things, one of the things that I can do is to say, I am going to do this much time on my job, and then I need to do this much time with people who are caring like I am, or I need to do this much time in a political action thing, or a human relationship thing for a hurting person, or going to visit a nursing home, or whatever it might be that I feel committed to do, but so that I feel revitalized again and continue to get little shots in the arm as compared to the overdose that we get here.
Okay. Yeah.
I was here for the first time 2 years ago. I wasn't here last year. But I honestly feel and believe that having been here, I was just a minute bit better than I was before I came. And I hope that I go back the same way this time. Therefore, it'll make it all worthwhile. Together with a conglomerate of mixed up ideas, some of which I can see where I could, with commitment, do more of it.
Yes, sure.
Well, one thing that maybe seems like a small thing to people here, but in the junior high school where my youngest son goes, they call it ripping off. Everybody gets their sneakers ripped off at least once a year. And, I mean, they just, it's like a fact of life. They're just, you could lay something down and it's gone. And it's not a horrible inner city school, but it seems to be a common accepted thing. Well, you just don't leave. I mean, you have to lock lockers and sometimes they're even broken. And here, my son noticed, I just left my watch and there it was. And he's 12 and he's not really into remembering towels and things like that. And he goes back and they're there. He said, boy, this is a paradise here because nobody rips anything off. And I thought, well, you know, to me that's a good thing for him to know. It's a possibility that a life like that could be, you know, possible. It's sort of like, there once was a place called Camelot. Well, he can always look back and say, well, Holden, there are people where not everything's going to be ripped off. I mean, you know, that it's a possible human way of dealing with things. So that's been real positive. And I agree. I think I'll go back feeling a little better about people. And maybe next year, this is my first year, you know, I can feel even better. Because I have been involved in the community in a lot of ways, but sometimes it's discouraging when it's an overwhelming predominant action. Kids, it's just sickening to see junior high school students accept that as a way of life. I mean, it's no difference. It'll always be, you know. And that's one positive thing too. My son, I noticed.
Lest this become too much of a utopia, one of the staff members left wet wash in dryer, and somebody took wet wash out of dryer and left it wet. But somebody else folded the dry clothes.
Yeah, one of the gifts that would be stupid to take home would be utopia beliefs, if that's what you're saying, Jerry. And I think we should
well,
be in touch with that.
Well, the thing is, utopia,
I understand
that. One of those mores that he has accepted almost as a way of life,
yep,
that he thought was, wow, you know, nobody came in our unlocked room and stole our jewels, or we don't have any, but I mean, you know.
There is other reality than everybody rips off everybody.
Yeah.
And when one doesn't know other reality than that is only reality there is. And that's what I hear you saying. And it's a gift for my kid, and maybe even for me again, I hear you saying, to know there's another reality.
Right, that's all I'm saying. I was just kidding at this.
Yeah.
Then too, I think it's a complete lack of competition. But there's an overwhelming amount of cooperation that takes place here. Nobody worrying about upmanship. Everybody on a first name basis. Very, very leveling, I think.
Yeah, when I can be sitting in the second day in an art class with the guy who does Smokey the Bear, and I know who I am, that must not be a very competitive group. I would never do that. And I must have sensed it very quickly. Because it just didn't bother me to go in there and goof up.
in that other world, you're intimidated to hear, you know, a doctor this or a professor that or whatever who seems to be in that little world of intelligentsia, which is removed from your everyday experience. And to be on, what she said, first name basis, and not know that title, puts them on a human level, which brings them to you in a much more clear way.
I'm going to raise again, doesn't mean you can't say what your gifts are, but I'm going to raise again the issue of how do you get home, or is it possible to take home?
One of the things Rudy and I have started doing is to build a tape library in our church from Holden. It's one way we feel we can at least take the lectures home, because there's enough people who have come off and on from our congregation who really know what Holden is, and we hope recommend the tapes to others because they've heard it in person. And we have so many people who it's a bedroom community where we live, and so many people drive to LA to work and back again, maybe round trip of 100 miles a day. And most of them have tape decks in their car or just listen to the radio. But if they have a Holden tape, I think that it might give them a lift for the day.
There's a number of congregations with a number of people. One had 25 people. If each one took one tape home at, what is it, $4? You'd have 25 tapes in that parish. Like, yeah.
I'm taking five of them. I had somebody in a John busted around.
Yes.
Continue with the tapes. I feel they are a real gift. Because we all have different subjects that we are interested in, or something that has happened to us in our life that we would like to study more. And of course, it's not necessarily going to happen the week or the days we are here. But with this library, we're able to research or look those areas up and listen. And I think just by hearing other people discuss them, and especially after being in a forum, then you can understand the atmosphere of how these were shared and given. And those are very helpful and meaningful. And can be taken home easily.
Seriously, nobody has indicated the gift of the wonder of God's creation that's here. Absolutely phenomenal. But maybe all of you are from the western seaboard here, which has all the natural...
Tell us, plainsmen.
Yeah. The greatest thing that we got is the Mississippi River running through our town. But I think that is a significant thing. And boy, when I've seen all the shutterbugs around here, I'm sure that they could work up a program. Churches are always short of programs in which they could use not only the visual, but also add the dimension of the human and the eternal.
What's the key to this place? A lot of keys, yeah.
Well, I think one of the keys is that nobody takes themselves too seriously. They have such a tremendous sense of humor. To me, that is one of the, if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be holding. This craziness that comes along with real depth, too. It's a wonderful combination.
Well, she mentioned everybody seemed equal because of their first names, but they don't, I feel like, you know, pretty inferior. There's some real heavy brains around here. I mean, as far as the population cross-section, you know, at least in the circles I circulate in, it seems quite a contrast. I wouldn't have to ask their degree to find out. They're saying some pretty heavy stuff with a lot of background. And I would like, I don't think the place probably could grow, but I would give my place up to share with a friend, you know, for a week, and instead of staying 3 weeks, stay 1 week. And because, I'm really hustling to have some friends share this experience. I mean, listening to some of the people that are really committed and knowledgeable, you know, I don't feel they're equal at all. I feel like they're a dummy. I just think that as a cross-section of people, it's probably more, you know, educated type of approaches and thoughtful approaches than I've met in any number of 400 people at all. Even in college, I you know, there are people with often all sorts of directions, but here, I'd really give up my place next year to send a friend. I mean, you know, let them have the experience, because it's just neat. I mean, it's a learning experience to me, where you could go out and lay down someplace in the sun and then come back and there's somebody just perking away on an interesting subject. You know?
I brought in one that didn't want to come. I don't want to go.
You want to get on a
tramp?
He wants to try the tramp.
I'm too busy to do this, supposedly. But I'll tell you, I'm coming back.
I think over here, Ben.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I took a whole new idea about myself. I am taking them. And that is that if I'm not all the woman I can be, it's nobody's fault but mine. Not my husband's and nobody's.
That has a lot of power in it.
I kind of think we take hold and home with us in the personalities of the people that we've met. I don't think a day will go by in my life when I won't think about some of the things that have happened here and some of the people I've met and the things that we've shared. And I think that Hold and I will be taking home with me. I can't take these buildings and I can't take the mountains, although Hoover's got pictures. But in the experiences that I've shared with people here in these few days.
The risk of maybe changing direction, there's a part of me that would be concerned if somehow it weren't more than just, and not that's a just, that's, I don't know how to talk half the time, that it weren't more than me as an individual going home being blessed. I really think that one of the things I see happening here at Holden, and I didn't know it before I got here, is that there is a movement afoot for people who are individuals to gather in community to speak to and to minister to and to confront a world that God cares deeply about. And I'm not sure it's so easy to get handles on how I go home and continue to be a part of that community when it seems that the community is here and I go back to the East Coast. And so Susan's haunting questions about the churches being given the task of being Christ in the world, and that part of that agenda is to be a community that loves not softly, but very hard and deep, and that, for better explanation, while it gives out food and clothing, asks the questions, why are people without food and clothing, and risks fighting on the side of those without food and clothing against forces that would keep them from being clothed and fed. That does not describe the parish I serve, and I carry 11 years of history working there. 11 years. I don't know if it describes the parishes where you're going, and so that leaves me a bit afraid when it comes to the mission of the church and the task of the church. Nothing would be more exciting to me than you could share that the gift of Holden can be plugged into that ongoing community you're into, and I think that'd be a gift to others if you know about those communities and how they work and what's going on.
I was gonna say right before you said that I feel the way that I would take the hold of that with me, and I'm not a part of an organized church community in my home, so I can't take it to my church. But I feel that my attitudes towards myself and towards other people, towards God, towards Christianity, towards certain world issues that are present here and lifestyle ideas have been seriously altered, and that's going to influence me when I get back, as far as just in my day-to-day life, what I do with my time and how I relate to people that I'm involved with in my life. It can't help but affect my life, and just on the everyday activities and interactions are going to come out, because my attitude's going to be different. my values.
Sure.
I'm finding it difficult to tell my friends and relatives about how I feel about Holden, and I don't think there is any way that they can catch the enthusiasm I'm not truly coming from.
It's true. That's true, but now that if we're truly positive about this experience, doesn't it leave us with the challenge to go out and change the world?
Or at least show it how it's changed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful to other people, too.
It was a beautiful quotation from Henri Nouwen in the last issue of Sojourners, where he was talking about downward mobility, and quotation went like this: God gives each of us a mission, and we get there by taking comfortable steps. And to put him in context of what John Schramm and others have talked about here, the past 10 years or so, I think he's been teaching pastoral theology at Yale. He's decided now to go to a very poor parish in a South American country and be the parish minister and help those people who are in poverty.
I'm wondering if one of the gifts from me from Holden is a continued growth in awareness that when I'm breaking bread and I'm drinking wine, that I'm part not only of the hope and the dreams and the presence of my Christ or the Christ who has died and lives in me, but also all those who may be in different cities all over the world who really are catching a new vision and are taking on agendas, and you know, and I really am not alone. That's a new experience for me. And that's one thing that Holden, again, has helped me get refreshed in. When we break the bread on Sunday night, and it's with this community and that community, whether I see you again, I know you're breaking bread, a lot of you, that we share that we are in community, and there's power in that for me.
One of the little steps is that there's a study guide in the bookstore on, I don't remember the name of it, but it's on simplifying life. And the idea of starting a study group. And the sessions are laid out and everything. It tells how to go about organizing a study group on that issue. And we're going to do that. There's a couple we know, but we know would be interested. And it's kind of a big thing in our city anyway, not among Christians so much. It's just we've got a big counterculture that already are simplifying life. And, that's one thing. We expect to be doing on the first step.
Two things I hear is one, finding a little community for yourself, mm-hmm. even if it's another couple, mm-hmm. and then taking some action that's measurable for you that begins to cause a wedge in your life.
One of the things that I find most painful when I talk to clergy, I do anti-racism work, is the automatic assumption that to do any of that work in their parish, that everybody would be aghast. And there's somehow a negativism in us that somehow tends to put us on the short side as Christians, that most Christians, or a lot of Christians, aren't as concerned as we are about the issue. It's that when none of us bring it up or call each other into that, it doesn't happen. And that really checking around, if there are two, three people who care like you care, there's probably hundreds in your parish, but we just don't know how, or we don't, someone said it, we see ourselves as so insignificant that we don't have the right to ask. Someone that said that we just don't understand how valuable and important we are as people who can call forth a small group who starts to get concerned. For example, I'm going to take the 10, there are found 10 tapes in there on mission from people who have been here, and we have small groups in our church. I'm thinking I'll probably make, in other words, 100 tapes, so that each of those groups that they meet in small group will be dealing with those questions and discussing them. And that's manageable. That's no big thing, but it's manageable. I happen to know those people will appreciate it. But I would guess that's a parish. We have a parish of 200. They aren't very big in the East Coast, the parishes. But that's about half the congregation will be wrestling with some of those questions around missions. And most of them will be happy. because they do care about it. They know how to get into it. They don't, they can't all get to Holden. Holden has to come to where they live.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's just financial. It's very expensive to come to Holden.
It isn't expensive to stay here. It's expensive to get
well,
here.
Well, from
Washington,
yeah.
Yeah.
But even, you know, taking the baby here, when I come to Capitol, all I'll find those books when I get home, you know, somewhere. And it's hard to see all those books in one place there where they aren't so accessible. I think that is something that we can take for granted about having the research of the books. But when you go home, a lot of times when you can't express it in words, you can. There's a book of someone who says, you need to read it, you know, and that's the stuff that when you've read it. And that's the next one, how you're going to try to get it.
There's just 10 minutes left, so make sure you get in if you want, Edmund.
One of the things we struggle with in terms of program and how to bring it off here in Holden is to think of it in terms of ministering to congregations and trying to provide things here that you can't really provide in your own home church. And even with a small group of churches or within a city, the hope is that the programs here and the opportunities here will be a cut above that level. And the struggle with this, and I'm a member of the corporation board, and each year we try to pick a theme and we try to then work in things that will be helpful to congregations and minister to them so that it can be, at least in part, replicated in the congregation when the people get home. Hopefully they contact something here that is different than they contact in their own environment. And that's the hope. How well it gets accomplished and see is always we don't know.
As a member of that board, you should at least be on my part in this group, have heard a lot of people saying they're grateful for what you've done for this year or this week that we've been a part of.
Next year's theme will be on hope.
One of the things that we might be able to do is either take this model of sharing. Because there are the faculty that's here to help out in that. But the thing that I really appreciate is that if you have an issue or if you have a strength or a talent, whatever that happens to be, you're invited to participate or share in that. And develop some kind of a program around that. And I think that when we go back to our home congregation, many times we have a committee that decides what we're going to study when, and there's no room for other times or other ideas, or you have to have X number of people before it'll go, and you can't just have three or four people that are interested in an issue, or, you know, so maybe the whole model of how this village functions, and then everybody is kind of have input into it. And if you have some interest to say that, and then to find somebody who might be able to facilitate that. I don't see that happening in many congregations.
Yeah, when you think of it, 400 people here, and a session is really, really full, it seems to me is like this, is most of the ones I've been to, and that they're free to have this one and that one and the smorgasbord dealing with issues. I agree. I don't think it's the congregation. We're always so conscious of making everybody come, and it's going to be a full event that one could really start to think about.
Well, you have to have 100 sessions as compared to one and two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then speaking staff meetings, no one ever brings up, so what would be attending? If it's something that people hear, this is why the village philosophy is important, some people hear that's important, someone says, well, I'll try that, okay. And the staff meetings are so short because everything's just zing in zing and just do it, you know? And I think a lot of what happens in terms of what comes closest to planning is right underneath the by the coffee where people come up and talk, and that's why you see a lot of
people up there.
It's action. It's not just words. It's action.
Yeah, you listen to people and you get more ideas than you can possibly do. And you come away from this place exhausted sometimes.
I never taught a session, but when I've come away from there, Richard, because of those people who were in my session that were willing to share. It's just an openness.
Yep. I would guess that if we were to be honest, that there's going to be a lot of hurt about the many gifts that we'd like to bring back. I think I've heard it said that won't go. And that we've got to be just kind of honest that maybe Holden is part of that mystery of the places. Hoover says that there is something about this place and the Edmonds and others who plan it and work it, and some of it can be taken home and some of it can't be taken home. And that maybe it becomes a part of the dreams that some were talking about, a place that was safe, a place where I could be trusted, a place where people cared for me, a place where I caught on to village dreams and a global village, and some of that stuff is just a part of that we lodged in there. And so that when I get angry and frustrated that it's not here, or depressed, or feel like crying, especially for those of you who are free to do that, that maybe it's just okay. That maybe it's okay to miss Holden and miss the reality of an unreal place in what we know as the real world. I don't know if that's helpful for you, but I think I said that for me. Some things I cannot take with me.
In our town, there isn't a coffee square or a philosopher. You know, I mean, there's no place but the supermarket, maybe, that people, even the church people, aren't honest. I mean, as far as being so open and...
What would happen, though, in any of our parishes? I think sometimes we sell our parishes short. I wonder what would happen on a Sunday morning in the coffee, someone put a note or said, to make sure you have a couple friends who'll go with you. But, you know, I mean, I'm not that dumb. I, you know, you get two or three that you carry over there with you. But we're going to talk about whatever it turns you on that day, and you're going to talk about it and ask the two questions. You know, what are the issues of faith around that? And what are the resources of faith around that? And I think you might be surprised at who might gather with you over a period of time and how that little change could begin to be a change in your parish. Now, that may be a little naive, but I really wonder. And especially if you can come as people concerned, not as expert or ask other people to be expert or have you all read the last book, but we just come as people who read papers and hear newspapers or hear radios and TVs and are sometimes afraid and are concerned as people. And that we gather in his name around that concern. In some ways, this place is not complicated. I don't mean to sell it short. I know you bring lots of people in. But in some ways, it's a very simplistic lifestyle and a simplistic style of Christians coming together around things we all know are happening, and we have the courage to look at. Singles met yesterday because one lady said, after 3 weeks of thinking of going home, I decided instead of going home, no, I don't know if she said it that way, but of being hurting, there may be other singles who don't feel quite as full and alive in this family and happy place because of some things that happened shortly. And in the midst of talking and sharing, they begin to care for one another. That's not very complicated. It took a lot of courage, I would guess, for that lady to call that meeting.
Something else that I just wanted to say is the fact that all ages and all, you know, marriages, included. I've really forgotten how much older people meant to me. I really do appreciate the older people in the community, the families, the gardeners, the nature people, the, just all the older people came to give me such a goal of the people around the older people.
Very well said. Chief?
No,
he's probably listening to it.
I was going to say that when you were talking about hanging up a little note at the coffee place at church, maybe that would be a point there, that if there is something that is bugging you and you want to, if you didn't even open up your home at that time to say that it is something
She left you. We weren't going to tell you, Hoover. She's straight back with the doctor.
And And that could maybe cause some things to go on in your parish by you just initiating that one thing, and maybe only 5-6 people will come, but there again, it will be another, that could be a support group for you to help sort out some of the things that you want to share and talk about.
I know one pastor that I know fairly well, me, that nothing would be more exciting for me than to have some people in the parish start to gather around a concern, and for me to know they were gathering. That would just be the nicest gift that could ever happen. I think one of the gifts I take from Holden that may not be a real gift, and may even be maybe it's not the opposite of a gift, is that there's a sense in which here I lose a little bit of the reality of the world that I need to be aware of. That not everyone is excited, and it's the opposite of what I said before, but not everyone's excited about some of the issues we're talking about. And whether you would be talking about death and dying, or you'd be talking about nuclear energy, some people are so afraid they cannot talk about it, and so afraid that they would like me to shut up or to be around. I just need to be aware of that and to know that. And maybe that we don't learn at Holden, but you bring enough of that with you that at least I would say that as we go back home, we need to be very, very clear that we not be stupid about the world we live in either, so that we just set ourselves up for getting hurt. There's no point in that.